morning. Dick Beeman, I'd like to welcome you to the month of April, to the season of spring, and to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan. UUFM is a welcoming congregation, which means that you do not have any particular standard mold to be welcome here. We agree with Pete Seeger that life is much more interesting, not all boxes look just the same. We love atypical as well as typical ones, and with us, you just who you are. We have neither dogma, but we do affirm the seven UU principles, which you can see in the back page of your order of. And we would especially like to welcome visitors, and are there any visitors, in fact, who introduce themselves? Don't have to. Okay. There's a microphone.
Good morning. My name is Brokish, and I saw the notice in the paper, the special program you had, so I was interested to see that.
Oh, good. Thanks for coming.
I'm Mary Jo Mueller, and I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm going to be in the area for the next 4 to 6 months interning, and one of my top priorities was to find the local UU church.
We hope you have found it. Others? We invite all visitors to stay for coffee and conversation afterward, and if you wish, to sign the guest book and indicate if you would like to receive the newsletter. As I light the chalice this morning, let the blossoming flame symbolize the blossoming of spring and also symbolize the blossoming of spiritual uplift and joyous music that it is our privilege to share today with our wonderful guest and minister of goodwill, Greg Tamblyn, whom you will meet later. So I will now light the chalice. Okay, the announcements today, as always, can be found inside your order of service. Please read them carefully, and I want to, in particular, call your attention to the special announcement about Greg's comedy concert here in this room this evening at 7 p.m. So please come and bring all your friends. And I also want to pass on an announcement that Anel Forster asked me to read. Anel says that the large print name tags are now available. Those of you who requested them should see Anel after the service. Is Anel here today? See her later. And I'm wearing mine. You can kind of see the comparison between the old one. They're just slightly larger, and they're just a little bit easier to read. So see her about that. Some of you may know that there's been a push within the UUA to replace all name tags, not just with this large print version, but with the extra large print version. And several of you have already requested those. And Marilyn, you had requested one, I think. I have yours here, and you can just pick it up later. But this is what they look like. If anybody wants to order one again, see Anel. Okay. For the first reading, I would like to read a short story from the Good Book. I don't actually recall which good book, but it's one of those good books. A man has been plagued by doubt and skepticism. He's having a crisis of faith and is praying to God. Lord, he says, I beg you to hear me and to quell my doubts and uncertainties. Is it true that to you a billion years passes as a fleeting moment and that a million years to you is but a second? And the Lord responds to the man's plea saying, yes, my son, it is true. A million years is but a second. Well then, my Lord, says the man, what is $1 million to you? And the Lord says, my son, $1 million is but a penny. And the man says, ah then, Lord, may I have a penny? No problem, says the Lord, just a second. We will now have joys and concerns. Are there any joys and concerns? Betty.
For those of you who know our daughter Sarah, she has accepted a job at KU Med Center and will be starting on the 16th of April. So we're pretty busy the next couple of weeks helping her move from Salina to Kansas City.
Michael Oldfather, I have a joy for a good friend of this congregation and a concern for us, and that is that Lisa Schwartz has just accepted a job in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and will be there in the fall. Now, this assumes a favorable vote from the congregation, but how could they do otherwise? We have to wish her well on her voyage.
Other joys and concerns? Okay, thank you for those. Greg will now lead us in song.
It's a very simple chorus. We just sing along when we get to it. When I was a boy each week, Sunday we would go to church, pay attention to the priest. He would read the holy word, consecrate the holy bread. Everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is everything is holy now. 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 Let's try it. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. When holy water was rare at best, I barely wet my fingertips. Now I have to hold my breath like I'm swimming in a sea of it. Used to be a world half there, heaven second rate hand me down. I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. 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 This morning outside I stood, saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush, singing like a scripture verse. Made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out, how things have changed since then, 'cause everything is holy now. Used to be a world half there, heaven second rate hand me down. I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. 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 Come on, like you believe it. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy. Come on now, like you're Baptist. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. One more time. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy now. Everything is holy. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. that was good. Thanks. Thanks for singing.
Thanks, Greg. Corey will now come up with the kids and have the story time.
I love to laugh loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I fill with glee, and the more the glee, the more I'm a merrier.
Do you guys know that song? From Mary Poppins? Who's seen Mary Poppins? You know when they're all laughing and they end up on the ceiling? Do you guys love to laugh? Yes, you do? So later in the song, they talk about all different kinds of laughter. They talk about high laughs, and low laughs, oh. So right now, I want you all to laugh in your silliest way. One, two, three. There is a fly in here, it's okay. So how does it feel? How does it feel when you laugh?
It tickles.
It tickles a little bit. What else? Does it make you feel happier? So they've actually done a study that when you're feeling sad, if you smile or you laugh, it tricks your body into thinking that you're happier. Is that a good idea? Yeah. Kaya?
Sometimes when I laugh, it makes my tears go away.
Yeah, laughter's a really good thing, right? So today, the adults are going to talk about singing and laughter and being merry. So I thought we would kick things off by seeing if we could make them laugh. What do you think? And I thought you may be a little bit shy about just getting up and doing something silly, so I brought something to help us. These are really fun candies that have jokes on them. Okay, so let's see. Everybody take a candy. Okay, let's start with one. Okay, and these ones have jokes on the outside. So let's see if we can find the jokes. Okay, do you want to read yours? Okay, get ready to laugh, adults. Okay, here we go.
Why did the skunk cross the road?
Why did the skunk cross the road?
To get to the odor side.
Oh, good. Okay. There's another one on the wrapper, so we're going to go with another one. Okay.
What did the book say to the page?
What did the book say to the page?
Don't you dare turn away from me.
Oh, good. These are so funny. Okay, Allie.
What do astronauts eat for dinner?
What do astronauts eat for dinner?
Launch meat.
Launch meat. Oh, good ones. Okay, Leah, I'll read yours for you. How do trees get on the internet?
They log on.
We did it. Okay, I'll read one of Kaya's for her. Why don't lobsters share? Yes, they're shelving! They are getting a hang of it! Do you want to read it? Yes, Destiny's going to read one.
Which one runs faster, hot or cold?
Which one runs faster, hot or cold?
Hot, everyone can catch a cold.
Ah, everyone can catch a cold! Okay.
What does a Christmas have to do with a cat in a desert?
What does Christmas have to do with cat in a desert?
Okay. They both have Sandy Claus.
Sandy Claus! These are so good. Okay, we're going to read two more. Allie?
What is yellow and wears a mask?
What is yellow and wears a mask?
The Lone Lemon.
The Lone Lemon. Nice. Okay. Yes, just a minute, Kaya.
What does a chicken and a band have in common?
A chicken and a band?
They both have drumsticks.
They both have drumsticks! Okay, Kaya, you're going to read our last one.
What did the triangle say?
What did the triangle say?
To the other triangle.
To the other triangle! What's the answer? Let's flip it up. Let's get together and square dance. Oh, good. Okay, we're going to pass some of these out to the adults on our way out so they can continue to laugh. But before we do that, I just want to close by saying that Carrie and Lauren Cave are moving, and this is their last week. And we have really, I'm going to get choked up. We have really enjoyed having you guys with us, and we're going to miss you so much. So I know this is about laughter today, and I should not be crying, but we're going to be very sad to leave you. So, thank you, Carrie.
What would you do without your memories?
What would I do with, oh my, perfect, Joe.
Forget.
So Carrie and Lauren, we got you journals and pen bracelets so that you can continue, and we signed them and wrote you guys a little message, okay? All right, so as we go out, everybody hand out some candy, okay? All right. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you
April 1 does not fall on a Sunday again until the year 2018, 6 years from now. This is therefore our last chance for a long while to be unapologetically silly on a Sunday morning. Not that we need to feel apologetic about it, of course. Pablo Picasso said that art is a lie that reveals the truth. And I think maybe humor could also be described as a lie that reveals the truth or that makes the truth more bearable. Sometimes humor is absurdity that exposes hidden assumptions and faulty logic. Of course, laughter feels good and is good for you. In a few minutes, Greg Tamblyn is going to help us understand how laughter graces the path to enlightenment. In the meantime, I want you to indulge me just one more light anecdote. This is a story that will be familiar to most of you. I'm very glad that we've just established that groaning qualifies as laughter, and I fully expect every punchline to be anticipated by somebody out there. A young Buddhist monk was on a quest to find unity and connectedness. He had studied religion and philosophy, and he knew something about Unitarian Universalism and its philosophy of the interconnected web of existence. So he resolved to make a pilgrimage to Boston. He finally arrived in Boston, but lost his way trying to get to Beacon Hill, and instead wandered into Fenway Park. The monk felt the spirit of unity and community that reverberates in that grand old stadium. Fenway is, after all, where the Bambino, Babe Ruth, on numerous occasions, united tens of thousands into a single collective spirit with just one swing of his bat. So the monk thought he had found the UU Mecca and sensed that he was nearing the end of his quest. He ascended to the very top of the bleachers, and there in the uppermost tier, he looked up into the face of a hot dog vendor. The vendor's face eclipsed the sun, and the rays seemed to emanate from his head like a halo. The monk, squinting into the blinding light, gazed up at the vendor and said, "Oh, elevated one, my journey has been arduous. Have you ever tried to sleep on a bus? I feel fragmented and disconnected. My soul hungers for nourishment. Please, make me one with everything." The vendor handed him a dog with the works and said, "That'll be $5. The monk looked at the hot dog and realized the true meaning veiled in the cryptic message of this vendor of wisdom, namely that the path to enlightenment does not proceed through mortification of the flesh, that before one can feed the soul, one must first feed the body that houses that soul. marveling at this revelation of the close kinship between the animal and the spiritual, the temporal and the timeless, the mundane and the otherworldly, the ketchup and the mustard. He reached into his wallet and said, "I haven't got $5, but can you give me change for a 20? The vendor took the 20 and said, "Change comes from within." Now, as you listen to the marvelous Art Tatum playing a piece called Get Happy, please fill the basket with change from within your wallet and make it possible for our treasurer to laugh all the way to the bank. I can't listen to Art Tatum without getting happy. Okay, it is my great pleasure to be able to introduce today's speaker, or maybe I should say today's troubadour, Greg Tamblyn. I was trying to think back when I first met Greg, and I was thinking, I don't know, maybe Greg, you remember when we first met.
40 minutes ago?
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say an hour ago. But I liked Greg immediately, and I've liked him ever since I met him. Let me tell you a little bit about Greg's background. According to his official biography, as far as his formal training goes, he has NCW certification. That's no credentials whatsoever. But credentialed or not, Greg Tamblyn is a man of great accomplishment. He combines a lifetime of interest in spiritual wellness, a global consciousness, and an inclusive ecumenism with an irreverent sense of humor and a deep belief in the transformative power of music. His songs and stories range from deeply spiritual to outrageously funny, including such titles as Jesus Was a Bachelor, and my favorite title, I'd Like to Be the Man My Dog Thinks I Am. Greg is the recipient of several national awards at the annual POSI Music Festival, and these are the equivalent of the Grammys for a genre of music called positive music. Greg Tamblyn is very much like that hot dog vendor at Fenway Park. His mission is to make each of his customers one with everything and to deliver that message of unity with wholeness wrapped in a very tasty package. I am pleased to turn over the podium to itinerant Pied Piper of Wellness and Goodwill, Greg Tamblyn.
Thank you, and good morning. Thank you, Dick. Dick's really done a lot to make this happen. I'm very grateful for all your detailed preparations and that great introduction.
I got to say, Pat never stopped.
Oh, and Pat. Where are you, Pat? Oh, yeah, there you are. Hi. Good to see you. Well, it's fun to be here. Thanks for having me. I was actually born here in Manhattan, so a little bit of a homecoming. I live in Kansas City now, but it's great to be back here. And as Dick indicated, I want to share some thoughts about humor, a little talk I call The Sacred and the Silly. And to get into this, I'd like to actually go back about 800 years and to the other side of the world, ancient Persia, where the great Sufi mystic poets were living and writing at that time. You've probably heard of Rumi. How many of you know Rumi? And how many of you are familiar with his contemporary Hafez? A few of us. So for those of you that don't know Hafez, I encourage you to check him out. He's a very, very profound and deep and whimsical Sufi mystic. And a long, long time ago, he said this. What is the difference between your experience of existence and that of a saint? The saint knows that the spiritual path is a chess game with God, and that the beloved has just made such a fantastic move that the saint is now tripping over joy, bursting out in laughter, and saying, "I surrender." Whereas, my dear, I'm afraid you still think you have 1,000 serious moves. Good, huh? I can relate to this so well, because about 20 years ago, life got really serious for me, really quickly, literally overnight. I got into a lot of trouble physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and it's a long, dark story we don't have time for, but you need to know that it was serious. It was very, very scary, and I was so scared that I would never get through it and have a normal day again, that it was a very, very tough time. It was a definite low point, what I'm trying to say. Has anybody had a low point? I'm just curious. If you, because if you've had a low point, you know how it jumpstarts your motivation, your spiritual motivation. So I was looking at my life, and I was trying to figure out what happened, how I got to be the way that I was, and come up with some kind of excuse. So this is what I figured out. This is called Just a Little Soul Hanging Out in Space. Well, I was just a little soul hanging out in space, getting ready to come into the human race. God came over and he said to me, "Well, kid, what you want to be? It's time for you to go get a life. But you don't have to have no struggle or strife. You can live a life of comfort and ease, worldly pleasures. Do as you please. I can give you parents with lots of money, Southern California, bright and sunny, tall and handsome, a movie star, fancy parties, expensive cars, or maybe an athlete with rhythm and grace. You could do the Olympics, win every race, confidence just oozing from you, and the women, they're gonna love you. Or maybe you'd like to help those in low places, like a Peace Corps worker, Mother Teresa. But you know, when it's all really said and done, being the Pope is a lot more fun. Or how about a yogi with magical powers? You could levitate for hours and hours and teach everybody to walk on hot coals, sell books and tapes by the truckloads. Well, what do you say, kid? You make the call. You can have any part or you can have it all. You just tell me what you want to be, and I'll give it to you. It's my guarantee, yeah. Well, I just stood there with my mouth open, because, you know, that's just what I've been hoping. But while I was deciding to choose which one, I thought, well, maybe I'll just have me some fun. Because me and God, see, we're pretty tight. And I know God likes a good joke, all right. So I figure I'll pull his leg for a while, see if I can't make the old boy smile. So I say, "Father of mine, you know, all that glory, tell you the truth, sounds kind of boring. I want a life with some challenge to it. You know, something I gotta work to get through it. I don't want fame and easy success. I want to be shamed and easily depressed, with various physical and mental afflictions. Might as well throw in multiple addictions. I don't need life to be a sweet dream. I want writer's block and low self-esteem, sensitive skin and food allergies. And when I get around girls, make me sneeze. Make me wish that I had more height. Give me claustrophobia, stage fright, prone to worry, riddled with doubt, thinking I'll never figure life out. Yeah, that's it, God. That's what I want to have. And then I just shut up so he could laugh." God looked at me with a puzzled brow, shook his head, and just said, "Holy cow." For a minute, he stood there, pulling his beard, and then he said, "Kid, you're pretty darn weird. And I know you're just playing the fool, but this time, kid, the joke's on you." And then he grinned at me, and he yelled, "Shazam! And that's my story, and here I am." Glad you could relate. Will Rogers said, when you find yourself in a hole, the first thing is stop digging. And that's true. We have to have some consciousness, some awareness about what it is we think about all day. because it tends to show up. The good news about that is if we own that, if we take responsibility for how our life looks, then there's power there. There's hope there. Because if I'm the problem in my life, I'm also what? The problem in everyone else's life. This great, beautiful little passage in the Gospel of Thomas that says, if you bring forth that which is inside you, it will save you. I love that. Now let me ask you something. How many people here have heard of a painter, an artist named Donald Roller Wilson? Nobody? Me neither. But I read about him in the airline magazine. This guy is amazing. He has this niche. I mean, what a niche. All he paints are these gothic, very detailed, very realistic paintings of chimpanzees dressed up in clothes doing bizarre things. This is all he paints. And he sells these for amazing amounts of money. All the celebrities are onto him. But the reason I say this is because I love what he says. It takes all the arrogance out of everything you do when you know that God is so much bigger than you are. And yet, everything you are and do and see is filled with God. The trees, the asphalt, the people fighting over Aquanet at Walmart. That sounds silly. But silliness is just as important as love, just as important as tragedy. You can make a profound intellectual statement just by basing your efforts on silliness. Well, I agree with that. How many people have seen the Robin Williams movie Patch Adams 10, 12, 13 years ago? Most of us. Anybody seen the real Patch? Anybody? A couple of us have seen the real Patch. And so physically, you know, he's not like Robin Williams. He's really tall. He's about 6'7", kind of a beanpole, long gray hair down to usually mid-thigh, usually half-dyed blue. He's a doctor, a medical doctor, who dresses like a clown every day. Patch is a clown doctor. And Patch likes to say that his religion is kindness, and that clowning and silliness are the ways he's figured out that he can inflict love and compassion on the world. He's almost finished building the first silly hospital in the world, the Gesundheit Institute. It's in West Virginia. You can go see it. You can go volunteer there. So I've been around Patch a lot at various events where I'm appearing, he's appearing, and I've had the chance to see him in action, and I've had the chance to see this wave that he's created. This is the effect of one person being silly in a profound way. And the movie is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of things that go on around the world because of what Patch is doing. And one of the things I've heard him say a few times is that he feels like the world is wallowing in misery. And that one of the most radical things you can do in our culture is to have a good day. And show it. You know, decide to have a good day and then let everybody know you're having a good day. Well, we all know that life is serious. If we forget, we can turn on the news for a couple minutes and get reminded. But let me ask you this. Is there anybody here besides me who's ever had the particular gift or talent of making life even more serious than it already is? Because I'm an expert at this. I can forget everything in 10 seconds. So I wrote a song about that to kind of heal myself, and maybe you can relate to this. This is called Writer's Block, or the Long-Term Positive and Negative Effects of Worry. I was worried about not writing any songs. No words, no tunes, nothing for way too long. I was worried I'd never write again. Maybe there was no more ink in my pen. And I thought about that, and I began to feel ashamed. I was ashamed that I was worried about not writing. I'd been through droughts before and come out fighting. Seemed like my worry was out of control, and I was ashamed about it down to my soul. And then it hit me what I was doing, and I started feeling guilty. I was guilty that I could let myself feel shame over something so insignificant as this writing game. I thought I'd released that stuff long ago, and I felt guilty that I had such a long way to go. And then I realized what I was doing, and I got embarrassed. I was embarrassed that my shame could make me feel guilty. All these negative thought patterns, man, it was silly. If someone could see inside my head, they'd give me a drug and put me to bed. Yeah, I was embarrassed. That made me mad. I was angry that I could be so immature. I was angry at me, down on myself for sure. And as my anger turned into resentment, I thought about what the long-term effects of that meant, and I realized what I was doing to my body, and I began to feel afraid. I was afraid what I was doing to myself. All these negative emotions affecting my health. If body and mind are so interconnected, my shame, guilt, worry, and fear were making me infected, and I was afraid that I was becoming depressed. And as I began to sink into depression, the effect on my body and mind became an obsession. The outcome of this could not be in doubt, and that gave me something new to worry about. I knew that I might not be around for too long, so I wrote it all down, and I had a new song. And when I thought about that, I was fine again. Silly. But there's great joy in that, see? There's great joy in taking something limiting and troubling and bothersome and turning it upside down or inside out and taking all the charge off of it so it's not such a big deal anymore. Reframing things with humor, it's a good thing to do, learn how to do. And worry is the enemy of joy, right? Because if we're worried, are we in this moment? No. Thank you. That's all the hard questions. No, if we're worried, where are we? Right, the past or the future, but we're not here. And the thing is, it's okay to look at the past and the future. Just don't stare. A lot of us get in the habit of staring at the past and the future. It's easy to do. We get a lot of encouragement from our culture, our society, to do that. We're going to have fun with that tonight in the comedy concert. We're going to look at some of the ways that our culture encourages us to give up our power. And it's really funny when you step back and I mean, we're going to look at like advertising, like the top 10 whiny victim love songs, things like that. So we get stuck staring at the past and the future, and we forget to just be here. Well, silliness is a great way to stop staring at the past and the future. Now, I heard Mel Brooks talking about this on 60 Minutes, and he said, Socrates told us it's good to know thyself. He said, but I've learned it's way better to know thyself. Now thyself. He said, we need everybody living more in the now, living every day like today's our last day. which is why I never have clean clothes, because who wants to do laundry on the last day? Well, silliness is a great way to know thyself. Silliness is a great way to stop staring at the past and the future and just come back to now. And we saw such a demonstration of that with these kids. I mean, that was so powerful. The kids know that intuitively, and we all knew it when we were four. But I have another 3-second demonstration that will make this point. And this does not take any talent or thought or preparation. All you have to do is, when I say go, turn to somebody sitting close to you, doesn't matter who, just turn to somebody, and for 3 seconds, have a contest to see who can make the weirdest face. 1, 2, 3, go. Get weird. Get weird. Good. That was weird. So here's the thing. I'm just willing to bet for those few seconds, nobody in here was thinking about their mortgage or the test results or the divorce papers or whatever might be going on. For those few seconds, we're just here in that love and that fun. My bias, see, my belief is that all of these qualities that we associate with spirituality, with God, all the love, all the connection, all the oneness, all the community, all the joy, all the peace, all the strength, all the hope, all the beauty is available in every moment. It never goes away. God never takes a break. It's always here. But we get stuck in our important grown-up lives here in the U.S. of stress. We get stuck in our important grown-up busyness, and we forget to open the gift. And silliness is one way to come back to the present and open the gift. That's one of the things it does for us. Now, some people, you know, are challenged with this, like me. And I'll tell you, I think it's a cultural thing. This is my theory. You don't have to buy this. I think it's because our country was colonized to a great extent by the Puritans. You remember them? They were so serious, the English kicked them out. H.L. Mencken said that Puritanism is the haunting fear that someone, somewhere, is having a good time. Well, that's our heritage. We all, as Americans, we all have a little bit of Puritanism. And I mean, you look around the newspapers, the news today, the campaign, you see a lot of it still here, right? So if you grow up serious, it's okay to practice. It's okay to hang out with four-year-olds. It's okay to give yourself reminders, you know, wear weird socks or whatever, as little clues, little cues, to remind yourself to come back to the present. Be silly. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is where? Within, yeah. And to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be like a child. Yeah, simple. Okay, so silliness is a great way to know thyself. Now, there are many other ways. Meditation, prayer, gratitude, service. Powerful feelings of community and connection can bring us into the moment. But the other thing I want to touch on for just a minute is the experience of the sacred. And what I'm referring to here is kind of what Dick touched on in his little Fenway Park story, which I love, by the way. The mystical meaning of this term sacred, the mystical experience. And one of the things I did when I got into that trouble I mentioned earlier, I was down in that black hole of despair and terror and didn't know if I'd ever be able to get out of it. I went back to reading mystics because I'd gotten away from that for a long time, and I rediscovered descriptions of the mystical experience, the mystical consciousness of actually joining with God, whatever God is to you, joining it in that elevated state. And it's always described across the traditions, down through the centuries, as an amazingly blissful, beautiful, joyful, rapturous experience. That's the vocabulary. Nirvana, ecstasy, cosmic bliss. And the mystics that have attained this state and then somehow fallen out of it, their only desire is to get back there. That's all they want. Well, it really helped me, because I thought if it was possible for human beings to actually live at that level, then it had to be possible for me to get up out of this hole and feel good again. So what I want to do with the last couple minutes is just invite us all to move a little bit down that path, in that direction. Time-honored ways of doing this are singing, chanting, prayer, meditation. We're going to combine all those into a real neat little five-minute thing, if you're up for that. Would that be okay? Yeah? Okay. They nodded. All right. No, it's this is actually beautiful. We're going to use a beautiful little chant. Now, I didn't write this piece of music. This was written by a guy named Michael Stillwater. He deserves the credit. But it's such a powerful little piece of music. It has we have an easy chant that goes with it. We have a high part for the ladies. We have a low part for the men. We sing them together at the same time. And believe me, it'll take us someplace. So, low part. We'll do the low part first. This is the male part, usually four lines. Very similar. I am one with the heart of the mother. I am one with the heart of love. I am one with the heart of the father. I am one with God. Mother, love, father, God. That's the order. And this is how it sings. And if you know this, help me teach it. I am one with the heart of the mother. I am one with the heart of love. I am one with the heart of the father. I am one with God. Okay, mother, love, father, God. It's a little low for me, but most of you guys will be able to get down there. So let's all try it. Everybody can try it. One, two, three. I am one with the heart of the mother. I am one with the heart of love. I am one with the heart of the father. I am one with God. Then we rest for one bar, and then again. I am one with the heart of the mother. Louder. I am one. I am one with the heart of the Father. I am one with God. Okay, that was good. That's the low part, typically the male part. If you're not a male and you want to sing that part anyway, it's okay. Chant police will not tap you on the shoulder. But we do have this really beautiful high part written for the female voice, or if you're a tenor male, you can get up there. If you're a soprano, you can get to the upper octave, which is really pretty. I can't. But it's simple. It's just Ave Maria. And then a Greek phrase you've heard before, I'm sure. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. That's what it means. Kyrie eleison. Ave Maria, Kyrie eleison. If you can't remember Kyrie eleison, just think carry a laser with an accent, and you'll get it. This is how it sings. And again, if you know it, please help me teach it. Ave Maria, Kyrie eleison. Okay, let's try it. Beautiful. That's great. This is going to be perfect. All right, so we're going to start with the low part. We're going to lock that in, then we're going to bring in the Aves. We'll just do this a few times. We'll get quiet with it. We'll start, we'll get quiet with it, and we'll go into a period of silence. I have a really beautiful prayer from China, and then we'll come back with our chant and see what happens. All right, so I invite you to just relax. Now thyself. Let everything else go. Get comfortable and give yourself to this. See what happens. Men, we're going to start with the men. I am one with the heart of the mother, love, Father, God. We'll do that. Then we'll bring in the ladies in a minute. Okay? So, men, I need all of you. Ready? One, two, three. I am one with the heart of the mother. I am one with the heart of love. I am one with the heart of the Father. I am one with God. One more time, low part. I am one with the heart of the Mother. I am one with the heart of love. I am one with the heart of the Father. I am one with God. Keep it going, man. Ladies, Ave, here we go. Ave Maria, Kyrie Eleison. Same thing. Softer. Very softly. Your eyes close. Let all things be healthy. Let all things be peaceful. Be sure to count your blessings at least once a day. Forgive those who have hurt you and those who have offended you. But forgive yourself for what you have done and for that which you have failed to do. That which is done, there is no need to speak of. That which is past, there is no need to blame. Have self-control, self-respect, self-knowledge, and the courage to dare. Be tranquil. The light of intelligence will shine, and
and strive to make a spot where you stand beautiful. Then the beauty and harmony will follow you in all your days and in all your ways on this journey we call life. Now let's get ready to hum our parts. Together. Okay, full voice now. One more, full voice. Finish up. We'll just kind of come back with a last little song about sharing, about oneness, about sharing. This is actually kind of a little science lesson. You breathe out, I breathe in, we're sharing molecules again, oxygen and hydrogen, but do you know where your atoms have been? Parts of me were once in you, Genghis Khan, and Gandhi too, Jesus Christ and dinosaurs, Princess Di and Dinosaur. All these atoms everywhere. Circle back so we can share. No escaping, yes, it's true. Parts of me were once in you. My whole body, smooth and hairy, is really very temporary. Every year a new epidermis. Maybe next year's will be firmer. There's some atoms somewhere in Spain I could use back in my brain. They stay a while and then they leave. They only fit what we conceive. All these atoms here on Earth get recycled. Death to birth, like some ever-changing brew. Parts of me are now in you. As hard as it might seem to be, parts of you were once a tree, once a fish in the primal soup. Something's dinner, something's poop. 15 billion years ago, the Big Bang was quite a show. All this time and now here we are. Parts of you were once a star. All these atoms everywhere circle back so we can share. No escaping, yes, it's true. Parts of me are now in you. All these atoms we've collected only mean that we're connected. Since we share what we're made of, don't you think that calls for love? So take a deep breath, share some atoms. It's not like you have any choice. And we'll all be part of the Adams family. I got inspired by that candy. And before we leave, I want you to do one thing. I want you to turn again to somebody sitting close to you. It doesn't matter who they are. Just turn and look at somebody around the room. Go ahead. Just turn and look and just think to yourself, what a lovely bunch of Adams. What a lovely bunch of atoms, you know? Some of those look like they used to be mine. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you're enjoying them. Mm-hmm. These two atoms were walking down the street. The first atom saw the second one and he said, "Hey, what's up? What's the matter? You look a little down." Second Adam said, "Yeah, I lost an electron." First Adam said, "Are you sure?" He said, "I'm positive." You know what? I'm positive that we can be silly and now ourselves, and that God loves it when we do that. She told me. Thank you so much for your attention. I appreciate it.
First of all, Greg, thank you for just a delightful presentation. My smile muscles hurt, which I guess means I don't exercise them enough. I want to remind everybody about tonight's comedy concert at 7 o'clock. Again, please come, and please tell all your friends to come. And I think I probably also should thank Sybil Perkins for helping with some of the preliminaries, too. I thank Pat, and I hope I'm not forgetting anybody else. Dave Lambert, always, of course. Thank you. I can't quite read it. You got to buy one of those bigger ones.
And do we need a special thanks for Mark for the sound system?
Of course.
System?
Yeah. Of course. Mark and Doug, the technical people, are always getting overlooked, and they work so hard and do such a wonderful job. Sorry for not thinking of you immediately, guys. And I also want to say that there's a table on your way out, and Greg has tapes or CDs and books, I believe. Check them out. Greg will hang around for a little coffee and conversation. I don't know what else I'm forgetting, but thank you again, Greg, for such a wonderful presentation, and let's have coffee. Oh, wait, well, there is one more thing. We have 5 minutes. Anybody have any questions or comments they want to direct at Greg? Here's one. Oh, you have a microphone? Okay, yeah, Greg.
I just want to say I've been coming to UU fellowships for over half my life.
I've been a member of a UU fellowship for more than half of my life, and the last hour has touched me more deeply emotionally and spiritually than those entire 32 years of experiences, I believe. Thank you very much.
Jim Chantel, I have one simple question. Will you come back?
Sure.
Maybe next April Fools.
In 6 years, it's on a Sunday. Any others? Well, we still have a few minutes. Okay, let's go eat.